Hello. This afternoon, we would like to discuss some of the annual improvements that we have been analyzing for the 2012 and 2014 cycles, as well as the finalization of some of the amendments that were proposed for the 2010 and 2012 cycles. I know it's very confusing, but all of these are annual improvements. And in this case, well, I would like to start with some proposals to amend IS7, Statement of Cash Flows, that I was in charge of. And, well, basically we've got two papers that discuss these proposals. They are papers 11B and 16C. 11B addresses a request from the ISB to clarify the application of the primary principle behind the classification of cash flows in paragraph 11 of IS7. Agenda paper 11B also analyzes a proposal to amend paragraph 16 of IS7 regarding the classification of expenditures. And agenda paper 16C gives an overview of the comments that we received on the proposal to amend paragraphs 16 and 33 of IS7 and to add paragraph 33A to clarify the classification of interest paid that is capitalized. This proposal was included as part of annual improvements of a document that was published in last year, and this belongs to the 2010-2012 cycle. So we have different recommendations for all these proposals, and I would like to ask you if we could discuss all these issues in order of the recommendations that we have set in paragraph 63 of agenda paper 11B. So our first recommendation in paper 11, in paragraph 63 of paper 11B, is that the IFRIC, as per request of the ISB, identified that the main principle for classification of cash flows is that cash flows should be classified according to the nature of the activity in a manner that is most appropriate to the business of the entity. However, it considered that amending IS7 to clarify this principle is quite broad. And as you could see in the analysis that we did on a proposal to amend the definitions, it looks like it's a little bit complicated to amend each one of the definitions and try to clarify this principle, because there are lots of contradictions, inherent contradictions in IS7, in the guidance in IS7. So first question, do you agree with this first recommendation?
Yes.
Not to clarify this broad principle?
We agree not to clarify.
Now, second recommendation is not to amend IS7 on a piecemeal basis. So this will mean not proceeding with previous proposals to amend IS7, including not only the proposal that we discussed in agenda paper 16C regarding the classification of interest paid that is capitalized, but also a couple of other proposals that at some point we presented to the ISB regarding a proposal to amend paragraph 14 of IS7, in regards to the classification of cash flows for a service concession arrangement. This amendment was not approved by the ISB, but you discussed it. And also, as I have mentioned before, the amendment that the analysis that we give in paper 16C regarding the classification of interest paid that is capitalized. So do you agree with the proposal not to amend IS7 on a piecemeal basis?
Yes.
Without considering now the proposal to amend paragraph 16.
Yes.
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 Third recommendation. I know you're not going to be in agreement with this one, but. So we propose to amend the guidance in paragraph 16 of IS7. Regarding the classification of cash flows relating to expenditures. And more specifically, what we are recommending is to remove the reference in this paragraph that only an expenditure that results in a recognized asset are eligible for classification as investing activities. Now, you asked me to provide a little bit more context regarding this amendment. So this reference that I just mentioned was introduced in this paragraph as an annual improvement back in 2009. So you agreed to introduce these improvements, and in an attempt to clarify the classification of expenditures for exploration and evaluation activities, which IFRS 6 allows to be recognized as either an asset or as an expense, and the question that was raised in those days in 2009 was whether the entity should classify those expenditures as cash flows from operating activities or from investing activities. So the amendment that was proposed clarified that if they give rise to an asset, they should be part of investing activities. However, derived from the inclusion of this reference in 2009, we got into a lot of trouble because we think that the main principle in the main principle that IFRIC identify, that is that cash flows should be classified by nature, now it has become obscure because apparently it's giving prevalence to the classification based on the underlying or related item in the statement of financial position. So the question is whether you agree to reverse this amendment that was proposed originally as in annual improvements 2009 because of all the misunderstandings that it might be causing.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I think from the IFRIC's point of view, I can respect in 2009, at least to the month, 4 years ago we did this amendment, annual improvement. I can understand from the IFRIC's point of view for them to come to the conclusion they came to. But as a board, I feel the reason why we inserted is still valid. I go back to the comment that Mary made in the small groups meeting, and I thought that was a very good comment. She made a comment, and I respect that very much, is that she said the Para 16 of the IAS 7 has two ideas there. I'm using my words, Mary, you can correct me. But the main principle here is that the nature should be the overriding principle. But this is a secondary principle. This is not the main principle that should do it. If there's a confusion, we should correct it. But I don't see any reason why the board should be persuaded to reverse its decision that it made in 2009 when the very problem by removing it, we are reintroducing the divergence in practice. So I just feel that as a board, I can understand IFRIC coming to the conclusion, but as somebody who has to do this decision, I just feel that by reversing it, what are we trying to, are we not introducing the problem? The problem here is not the decision we came to, in my words. It is about the confusion potentially between which principle overrides the other. And here the principle is clearly, the nature is the principle, and this is, however, only expenditure in this. We specifically put it. I'm not persuaded to reverse that idea because there is no, I don't see any reason.
Because that, would you consider then just rewording it to clear up that confusion?
Yeah, absolutely.
And rewording it would mean that the primary principle is the nature.
However,
generally, nature equals what you've already decided for the balance sheet.
So when would it not be? If generally it is?
I think there would be very few circumstances, but what we're essentially saying here, because essentially we're saying there's a test when you apply it to the balance sheet, there's a test when you apply it in the cash flow. Generally speaking, the cash flow test and the balance sheet test should be exactly the same. But I think the concern that was raised with IFRIC was that there are very limited occasions where you may come to a different conclusion applying the two tests.
For example?
The only one that I can think of is in the extractive industries where you make a policy decision about what goes on the balance sheet, and that might not always reflect the nature.
Hmm. Oil and gas is the industry which raised this issue in 2009.
Well, why don't we just go through as oil and gas exploration?
Well, I think if it becomes a presumptive answer, in other words, you look at the nature of the cash flow, the board would expect that in most circumstances it will follow the cash, the balance sheet.
Introduce divergence, aren't we?
Yeah. If we clarify, we may not. If you remove it, definitely we're going to create divergence for which the board at that time decided to do this. So
the problem is it seems like what's coming up here is that in very limited circumstances, this particular sentence is forcing people to do the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Because it forces you to comply with the balance sheet.
I think that was the intention of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the wrong thing.
Yeah. I don't think it's the wrong thing.
They go.
And not the support of staff proposal for the following reason.
You know, support it, you don't support it.
Not support.
Is it?
We just vote the previous questions, not amend piecemeal.
Yeah.
And we, next question is, we want to make something piecemeal. The second reason is, I think, whether the principle that is based on nature is workable, I don't think so. You know, simply look at the nature, the word like this, you know, the, I don't know whether really means it is business or not. This is why I feel why we come to the rule-based examples. And where is the principle? The business definition.
Paragraph 11.
11?
Paragraph 11?
Unless it's 11. You know, the... The 11, the operating the activities and the produce, you know, the principal revenue, the producing activity. But the problem is the investing. No. I think that the investing definition seems, I have to, I don't think it is operational. What is the operating definition of investing? Financial activities. My next reason is, I really don't know to have this in, amendment will reduce diversified practice in the oil gas industry or not. I'm not so clear. It's because, you know, the industry still have the choice, either capitalize or expand. So already have different practice. And now we give them another choice. You can make judgment whether you feel such kind of investment expenditure is investing or business. And I'm not sure whether you will, you know, reduce the diversified practice or increase. I don't know. And certainly, if we reduce, we delete that sentence, my feeling is, what's the possible consequence for other entities in other industry? And at least I think with this sentence, it looks like rule-based, but I feel it's clear. And if we delete that sentence, maybe Daryl suggests we can say, you know, normally or not, but still, you know, open the doors, you know, it's hard to, you know, control. So, I don't like to, you know, amend.
Mary?
I believe we should not amend to remove the sentence that was added to paragraph 16 by the 2009 amendment. The reason, as I understand it, let me check this with IFRIC staff, for suggesting this is back in paragraph 2 of paper B, which is, that as a result of this amendment, people are inferring a second major principle for classification in cash flows, and they're inferring the sentence that was added. They believe that the sentence that was added creates a second equivalent principle. I think if you just sit and read paragraph 16 as amended, it doesn't set it up as the broad principle that's described in paragraph 2. And I also have a very significant process concern about going through all the consultation and due process to add an amendment in 2009, and then the year after it becomes effective to amend the standard to remove it. Let's do that if there's something fundamentally wrong that we and everybody else missed it, you know, in the due process. But we haven't heard that. What we've heard is, as people look at this, they're now putting an additional spin on it that has elevated this constraint to a principle. And so, Michael, in terms of how we can deal with it, I think I'd say we don't need to amend the standard at all, even to do the clarification. That's just, we just leave it as it is and go back and say, hey, if we're looking at paragraph 2 of this paper, it says, you believe this established a second competing principle. It was just meant to be a constraint driven in large part by trying to reduce diversity in practice that comes out of the election in IFRS 6. Don't build it into something more than it is. Let's have that comment on the record so it kind of erases the comment in the March 2012 update and call it dead, because the overall message from your papers on IS 7 are, let's stop messing around in very discrete bits with pieces of it, and let's wait until we decide it's a sufficient priority to address on a comprehensive basis, because there's lots of noise and maybe not wonderful fits in the standard, and we're doing more harm than good than messing with it. But I'd say let's stop now rather than unwinding something.
This is an approach that the board could support.
Yes.
I would rather support Darrell's proposal. Say, keep the general principle. It's clear, but say, except when another standard gives an accounting policy choice to expense.
No.
This is not his approach.
The approach was to say, when you have oil and gas.
Two wrongs don't make a right. Don't make a right.
I believe my approach would have been to say that
Let me repeat what I understand that I said, maybe I have a good point, that when a standard like oil and gas gives you an accounting policy choice for the balance sheet treatment, then the nature of the activity would trump the accounting that you choose. This is what you say.
That was my concern, was that if I'm following the nature test in IAS 7, I may come up to a different answer to what I would come up with in terms of my balance sheet accounting.
Yep.
And in that case, I would want to have seen the cash flow correctly represent investment activities. So what I'm saying from my perspective, I don't necessarily directly equate the term investment activities with the term with the balance sheet treatment.
That's what I understand. Yeah, I think I'm on the same line. So in a way, the nature of the activity would trump the accounting on the balance sheet when there is a choice, and only when there is a choice of treatment on the balance sheet.
Right, but this amendment was put in 2009 specifically to address the circumstance in which there was a choice, and at the time the board said, you know, because there is this choice, we're going to say you only put, you know, we're imposing a limit that was designed specifically for that choice. So therefore, we're redebating the amendment we agreed in 2009.
That is true. But at that time, we were doing a project on a financial statement presentation where the cohesiveness principle was an overarching principle. We may decide that it still trumps, that cohesiveness trumps the relevant information on the nature of the activity. But I'm not sure whether we're still on that view. I know Steve spoke in favor of that when we discussed the conceptual framework. But I think the information value of the cash flow statement on the nature of the activity, I think, in my view, should trump the cohesive principle in this case, because expensing is not the right solution. We do require capitalization of development expenses. There's really an exception for oil and gas, which is a bit strange.
Patricia?
I agree 100% with Mary. I don't think I need to say anything more than that, other than when they made the choice, if it is a choice between capitalizing and expensing, they should have thought about the nature of the activity when they made that choice. I can't see why it would be a different choice for the cash flow statement than it would be for the balance sheet.
But if there is a confusion between what is the primary principle and what is the secondary principle, that's when I thought, when Daryl asked me, do you need clarification for that? That's all I was trying to say, agree for it, and I didn't want to make any changes.
I think Mary's suggestion clarifies that.
Yeah, but she doesn't want to do anything right now.
Yeah, neither do I.
So I think we do not want to change.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. So that should we take a vote?
Yes.
Numbers?
Who does not want to change the standard?
Okay, what we'll do obviously is report this back to the Interpretations Committee, because I think Mary, your comments are very valuable comments, and so as well as including in ISB update, that would be reflected back to the Interpretations Committee, and they could determine whether that's the end of the road as far as, you know, their work is concerned, or whether maybe there's an agenda decision that gets published to just clarify that further.
It might not be necessary, because according to this paper, what you said is it's just the report of the discussion in the March 2012 update, and we don't have to keep adding lots and lots of process on top of stuff that was, you know, report of discussion, but in their hands.
Okay. That's Amy next.
Amy.
The last of our
This is Agenda Paper 16B. This paper is for an annual improvement from the 2010 to 2012 cycle for proposed amendments to IAS 16 and IAS 38. The proposed amendments aim to clarify the requirements for the calculation of the accumulated depreciation or amortisation at the date of revaluation. They propose to amend paragraph 35 of IAS 16 and paragraph 80 of IAS 38 and propose accompanying bases for conclusions. The comment letter analysis was discussed by the Interpretations Committee in January 2013, and this paper gives an overview of the main comment letter comments received on this issue and summarises the Interpretations Committee's recommendations. The first Interpretations Committee recommendation is that it should be made clear in the basis for conclusions of IAS 16 and IAS 38 that accumulated depreciation or amortisation would not be able to be restated proportionately to the gross carrying amount in situations in which both the gross carrying amount and the carrying amount are revalued non-proportionately to each other. This is regardless of whether a re-estimation of the residual value, the useful life, or the depreciation method occurs prior to revaluation. So the first question for the IASB is whether you agree with this Interpretations Committee recommendation.
Yes. Do we agree?
Yes.
The next Interpretations Committee recommendation is about the transition requirements. The ED for this issue proposed that the amendments be applied retrospectively. However, the Interpretations Committee recommend the following transition requirements. The proposed amendments should be applied to all revaluations recognised in annual periods beginning on or after the date of initial application of that amendment and in the immediately preceding annual period, and that an entity may also present adjusted comparative information for any earlier periods presented, but it is not required to do so. If an entity presents unadjusted comparative information for any earlier periods, it shall clearly identify the information that has not been adjusted, state that it has been presented on a different basis, and explain that basis. So does the IASB agree with this Interpretations Committee recommendation?
Do we agree with this recommendation? Such is the case.
Mm-hmm. And one technical question. We are amending basis for conclusions only.
No, so we've got an amendment to paragraph 35 of IAS 16, paragraph 80 of IAS 38, and accompanying. So the last question for the IASB is whether you approve the revised proposed amendments to IAS 16 and IAS 38 for inclusion in the final improvements to IFRSs.
I suppose that would be logical. Okay, thank you, Amy.